The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yes, Israeli Memorial Day, a very somber day in Israel. But before we get to talk about that, I just wanted to have a chance to respond to that listener yesterday who wrote in.
I didn't give you a chance, and I do apologize for that. I just kind of moved straight on, because I'm used to the kind of abuse that you were seeing. So give us, just rewind a bit, aware.
The listener wrote, it's unsigned. I'm not quite sure if we know who wrote it, but he wrote that it sounds like Anthony's using the opportunity to deflect and portray his personal anti-Netanyahu views. So in the first instance, I actually quite like people engaging and writing in their views. I don't mind if they want to oppose or contradict what I'm saying, have a bit of a debate. I do welcome that. I'm not quite sure what I was accused of deflecting. We were talking yesterday about the issue of keeping missions a secret, the Israeli security missions, and to the extent to which the politicians of this day are potentially trying to advertise some of the undercover work that's being done in order to present themselves as slightly better in the public eye, being responsible for some of these things. And in particular, I spoke about that massive presentation that Prime Minister Netanyahu did at the time, that the secret files were taken from the Tehran a secret location regarding the Iranian nuclear program. And I wondered out loud whether that whole presentation was necessary and whether it wouldn't have been better to keep that secret. I'm still wondering. I haven't formed a personal view on that, but I do think that potentially things like that should be more secret. As to my own personal anti-Netanyahu views, what I'd like to say about that is that I do try to be very, very honest in the way that I present things. And while I do like to present the facts as they are, undisturbed by any personal views, inevitably my own personal views do come into things. I don't apologize for that. It is one of the risks of the job. One of the things that you have to just take into consideration when doing this, in terms of my own views about Netanyahu, they're very mixed. I'll just present them as honestly as I can. I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu has done a fantastic job for the state of Israel. I think he's been a very good prime minister. I think he has amazing talents, really amazing talents. However, I do miss the days when public servants were exactly that, public servants, that people took public office in order to serve the nation rather than to serve their own personal interests. And this is not a comment necessarily only about Prime Minister Netanyahu. This is a comment about all politicians of our era, because that is what we're seeing these days, that so many people are taking public office in order to further themselves and their own careers. And at some point, there becomes a conflict of interest between what's good for the individual and what's potentially good for the nation. And I think that we're seeing that now, and it pains me to see that, because I think that if our Prime Minister was dedicating his talents and his resources to what is good for our nation exclusively without any conflict of interest, I think he would do an amazing job for us. And I do love the U.S. system, where after 8 years, you can no longer be president. That is a limit. And I think that there is something very positive to be said about that, because I think that within a period of 8 years, you can really do whatever you need to do and move on without getting mixed up in too much of, being there for too long and having too much control over things, which could potentially result in conflict of interest. So I will be honest to tell you that I did not vote for Prime Minister Netanyahu in the last election, because I feel that we need new blood and I think we need to move him on. Having said that, more people voted for him and his Likud party than for any other individual or party. That is just a fact as it is, and we can't get away from that. But the more people means less than 25% of Israelis voted for him. So this majority is a very, very slim majority. And in fact, 75% of those who voted did not support him. The problem, of course, is that the opposition is very splintered, and so therefore he remains the person who received the most votes out of all of those who presented themselves, even though the most means only 24.2%. So that's my response, And, you know, again, I'm happy to enter into these kinds of debates, as long as, you know, we present the facts as they are. I welcome comments.
Absolutely, well said, Anthony. And I think that is absolutely right. And Sian says, Anthony, respect. I think he gives a great presentation of the facts. And certainly, I believe that, Anthony. We all do. The truth is that we all have opinions. And when you're on radio, you give your opinion as well. And, of course, our thoughts do come through. And I have to tell you that I pretty much share your view on Netanyahu as well. I think he's done a remarkable job, but I really do think that it is time to move on. And I am very concerned about the lack of succession in the government. So really, really well done to you. Let's just talk about Memorial Day in Israel. Today is Memorial Day. We've been speaking about it. What are the events that are going to be taking place today?
So obviously a very somber day in Israel indeed. It started already yesterday, yesterday afternoon even, when a ceremony took place at Yad Lebanim in Jerusalem, which then was followed by the Central State Service, which this year took place at the Kotel at the Western Wall Plaza for the first time. This began with a siren, a minute-long siren, which sounded at 8 o'clock last night, in remembrance of 23,928 people who have given their lives defending the country or have died at the hands of terror activities. And there will be a further siren this morning at 11 o'clock, which will begin a whole series of memorial services that take place at military cemeteries up and down the country. The central ceremony will take place at the Mount Herzl military cemetery in Jerusalem at 11 o'clock this morning. But really, there isn't much of a central focus. This morning's ceremonies are really all about locals going to their local cemeteries, thinking about local people, doing it rather than doing it in a national sort of way. And then later on this afternoon and moving into evening, there will be a further ceremony at Mount Herzl, which will signal the end of Yom HaZikaron and will then kick straight into Yom HaTzmaut, where we will have the beacon lighting ceremony for Yom HaTzmaut. Individuals who have been chosen to light the freedom beacons for Independence Day, many of whom come from our health services, people who have served on the front lines in the fight against COVID, who will this year be well represented in lighting the beacons, Letiferet Medinat Israel, to the glory of the State of Israel, these famous words that are uttered as the beacon is lit. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. What's interesting for me is that there is also an annual ceremony which took place last night at Latrun to mark a focus on fallen soldiers and terror victims who have come from the diaspora. And there is certainly a focus of some sort on marking those who have come from outside of Israel to fight in the armed services or to visit Israel and who have become embroiled in some of the conflicts that we've had to endure over the years. This year, 112 names have been added to the list of those who have fallen since last year. 69 of them were actually soldiers who've been injured previously and who this year died as a result of their injuries. So this is those soldiers who've been injured in prior years, who've become handicapped, who've become disabled as a result of their injuries, and who unfortunately this year passed away, which means that another 43 names were added to the list of people who were killed in terror activities, in attempts to attack Israel in the defense of the country, in the defense of our nation. This year, a relatively low number, but yet even in a year when things are really focused on corona rather than focused on terror activities, we still are obliged to add names to the list because unfortunately the attempts to attack us and the need to defend our land continues. But as the Chief of General Staff said, and as the Prime Minister said on numerous occasions, we stand ready in spite of this massive investment and the massive penalty price that we've had to pay over the years, 23,000, almost 24,000 people who have been killed over the years. We stand ready to defend our land. And it is amazingly, amazingly optimistic to see how our younger generation are standing up, who are going to the army in spite of the dangers that they know exist. We see that each year on this day. They stand up, they're ready to volunteer to do the most amazing work in the defense of our country. We in Israel very much appreciate them, and I hope that those around the diaspora will also show the appreciation in the same way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Really a very, very meaningful day. In fact, I was just thinking back some years ago when my son was 13, we went on a father's and son's bar mitzvah tour of Israel. And on Yom HaZikaron, we sat with a Singer family who had lost their son, Alex Singer. His brother is, in fact, Saul Singer, who was one of the authors of the book Startup Nation. And we sat mm-hmm. with his parents, and it was an incredible thing because they told their story and his story.
Right.
And that made it very personal. Where, you know, because we found that these 13-year-old boys, they loved army stories and they loved the parades and all of that, but we needed to find a way to make it real. And we sat with the singers in their lounge, in their living room in Jerusalem, and they told the story of the loss of their son Alex, who was killed in Lebanon in one of the Lebanon wars. And it was it was moving for the kids, but certainly for the adults as well. It was for the fathers as well. It was remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a personal story, and that's why this morning at 11, when our sirens will sound, it's all about those personal stories. It's not about the national ceremony. It's all about the local. It's all about the individuals. Everybody has a personal story. Every family has a personal story. I've certainly been exposed to families who've told their stories about what they've experienced when they've unfortunately lost their son or daughter, how one family described as being enveloped in green. That was the way they described it, the way the army wrapped their arms around them in order to cater for everything that they needed in order to cope, you know, help them to cope with everything in that moment of loss of theirs. So that was the way they described it. And in fact, this morning at just after 11, there will be a special Israeli Air Force flyby over the memorial hall at the Mount Herzl ceremony with one missing member of the formation. To signal those who have fallen, lost.
Incredible. An Israeli ship yesterday was hit by a suspected Iranian missile off the coast of the UAE. What are the details of this latest incident, Anthony?
Yeah, it's just ongoing, isn't it? It's just doesn't seem like it's going to end. So this is the Hyperion that was off the shores of Fujairah. And was apparently hit by what we think is an Iranian missile, apparently to try to avenge that explosion at Natanz, a nuclear facility, which of course is still being blamed on Israel. From what we hear from the security forces, the Israeli security forces do not intend to specifically avenge this attack. The ship itself was able to continue, even though it was damaged. There didn't seem to be such a severe damage to it, such that it couldn't continue along its way. So that's what happened. At least publicly, the Israeli security services are saying that they won't be taking particular action against this. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. There were no casualties, but of course some damage caused. But this seems to be the current modus operandi of the Iranians to try to hit Israeli ships at sea. And of course, more and more information coming out about that attack at Natanz. The latest story that I've read suggests that explosive device, which we understand was physically planted there rather than done via cyber, via some sort of remote access, apparently that explosive device might have been placed there some years ago. But this is not something that was done yesterday or the day before or even last month. This is an explosive device that might have been there for a very, very significant period of time, waiting for the moment, waiting for the right time to be exploded. From what I can gather, it might have been exploded remotely. But this story seems to get more and more fascinating as information is revealed.
Unbelievable. Absolutely. What a crazy, crazy escalation. And of course, something I have no doubt we'll be speaking about more and more. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning, which will be, of course, Yom HaAtzmaut.